First Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "For as much as Christ has suffered," oh, that's chapter 4. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Now, verse 2 is what we're going to zero in here. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time," the rest of his life, "the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness and lusts and excessive wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Verse number 2 says that he should no longer live the rest of his time, the rest of his life in his flesh, but to the time in his flesh, but to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. The will of God. I want to speak tonight, and I think tonight's message, I want to encourage you to maybe take a pen and paper, or even in the flyleaf of your Bible, jot the thoughts down tonight. I really believe tonight's message is important, and I believe it's very, very helpful for all of us, regardless of age, regardless of how long we've been a Christian. I try to take notes when somebody preaches. I jot thoughts down, their outline. But tonight especially, I want to encourage you to do that. And it may not, you say, well, it doesn't really apply to my life right now. You might be able to help somebody else with this tonight. And so I want to speak on determining the will of God for my life. He says, living the rest of our days, rest of our time in the will of God. How many people here want the rest of their life you have left, however much be, how many people want it to be in God's will? Sure, sure. And so let's look at the Bible and see how we can do that. Father, I ask you, bless now our study of your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us wherever we're at in our Christian life. I pray you'd use tonight's thoughts to help us see the importance of your will for our lives. And help us, Lord, maybe your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts and minds, that it would become a high priority, a great concern of ours, that we not only know your will, but we do it, we fulfill it. And so I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me to us as a church and us as individuals, that our church would know and do your will, and that we as individuals would know and do your will for our lives. So have your way and help us to make right decisions. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I think a major concern for any Christian that takes seriously their Christian life. You know, there's folks that claim to be Christians, claim to be saved, but you look at them and you talk to them, you interact with them, you get the impression they really don't take their Christian life very seriously. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's kind of name only. They kind of go through the motions, yeah, but they don't. It's not really a serious concern. But I think if someone takes seriously their Christian life, if someone takes seriously their relationship with the Lord, it's very important to me, my relationship with my Lord. If that's the case, then the will of God, knowing what God's will is and doing what God's will is going to be very important to that person. You follow what I'm saying? If I'm serious about my relationship with God and serious about living the Christian life and being the Christian God wants me to be, then knowing and doing God's will is going to be a high priority in my mind. I think it's good to ask myself at any given time. I think it's good any given time in my life, regardless of what stage of life I'm in, just stop and ask myself, am I in the will of God right now? Am I doing the will of God for my life right now? Paul said in Corinthians, he said that we should examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. We ought to be confident through thorough examination that we've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen? Everybody ought to have that confidence. There's a doubt there. There's uncertainty there. I need to get that settled. But I want to suggest also that we ought to examine ourselves periodically at any time and ask myself, am I in the will of God? The lifestyle I'm living, my behavior, my actions, is it God's will for me? Am I in the will of God? We mentioned this last week. My success in my Christian life is determining God's will and then doing it. That's what success is in the Christian life. We're all for memorizing verses, and memorizing verses helps me understand the will of God, but simply having a head knowledge of Bible verses doesn't make me a successful Christian. We ought to be active serving the Lord, and I thank God for a church that a pretty good percentage is involved in some ministry of one capacity or another. I think it's a little bit unusual, the level of involvement we have, but nevertheless, simply going through motions and doing something doesn't necessarily mean I'm in the will of God. And so being in the will of God is success in the Christian life, doing God's will. And by the way, it's not enough just to know God's will. It's important that I do God's will. I can give you illustrations of folks that knew exactly what God's will for their life, but they didn't do it. And they come to the end of their time, the end of their days, knowing that they lived their life outside of the will of God. Isn't that sad? That's a sad thing. And so it's not enough simply to know God's will, but I must follow through. What areas? What are you talking about? For instance, and some of this applies to the younger people, but it's across the board. But for instance, should I get married or not? How many agree with me? That would be a good, important something to know if it's God's will or not for me to get married. Sure. How about who I should marry? That would be an important thing. How many people agree with me? Who you marry will affect your life probably as much, if not more, than any other decision you make in your life. Yeah. You're a knucklehead. I almost said you were a dumb bunny, but I don't think you ought to talk like that in church. So you're a knucklehead. If you just go off and commit the rest of your life to somebody and never consider whether it's God's will or not. Somebody says, well, I love her. Well, praise the Lord, that's God's command to love your wife, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's God's will. Right? Could a saved young man fall in love with an unsaved young lady? Sure. Would that be God's will? No. And so determining the will of God is vitally important. Should I get married? Who should I marry? Should I go to college? Should I go to Bible college or not? What job should I commit myself to? What vocation? Seeking the Lord for all of these things. Should I get a new job? There's an opportunity comes up to get a new position or a new job. Might involve moving away, which would involve being involved in another church. And so these are all things, regardless of what stage of life we're in, that we ought to be concerned about the will of God for that. How many times somebody didn't pray, didn't seek God, never considered whether it's God's will or not, just took another job, another position, end up somewhere else? Maybe there's no good church there. And they raise their kids out of church. And boy, they look back with regret. Follow what I'm saying? And so the importance of the will of God, the importance of determining what is God's will for me, ministry, what ministry should I be involved in? Now, I'll say this to you very frankly, very bluntly, I believe every Christian ought to be involved in ministry. But God has a place for each of us. God has gifted each of us in unique, various ways, and He is a place where we fit in. He is a place where we're gifted for that area of ministry. And so we ought to seek the Lord for that ministry. God wants me to know His will. In fact, I believe God wants me to know His will even more than I want to know His will. God wants to reveal it to us. It's not like He says, all right, we're going to play a guessing game, find the will of God. That's not the way it is. God wants us to know His will. If I trust him and if I trust God and if I obey him, he will put me where he wants me to be. I believe that. If I trust the Lord, follow his instructions. I'm going to give some principles here. Follow these. I'll end up in the will of God. God can open and close doors of opportunity. Did you know that? God can open a door. It looks like, wow, there's nothing here. There's no way this will work out. God can open a door if I trust him and let him lead me. God can take my... Anybody here make a mistake since you were a Christian? Anybody at all? Raise your hand. If you made a mistake and since you're a Christian, raise your hand. Some of y'all made a mistake right now. You didn't raise your hand. Yeah, we do. Do you know what? God can take our mistakes. Listen to this. God can take our mistakes and turn that thing around and use that and actually help us be stronger as a result of that. God can take even our mistakes and bring some good out of them. I don't know about you, that's awfully encouraging. So God's will, it's important. And if we trust him, last week we introduced this thought from verse 2 and we gave three thoughts about living our lives in the will of God. And if you remember, we said that the great battle in life is the battle between my will and God's will. That's the struggle. My will can be awfully strong, amen or not. My will can be awfully strong. And so I've got to, as a serious Christian, serious about my walk with God, serious about pleasing the Lord, I've got to win that battle over my will and yield to the will of God. Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And that's the battle. That's the battle. My will versus God's will. And then we said the burden in life concerning living our lives in the will of God is determining God's will. That's what I want to talk about tonight. And then thirdly, we said that the blessing of living my life in God's will. And I'll tell you right now, there's no greater blessing than knowing I'm doing the will of God. I'll tell you, I don't know how many times I've come home maybe a Thursday night out visiting, maybe knocked on a door and got to share the gospel with folks. Maybe they responded, maybe they didn't. But to leave that and finish up a night of out talking to people about Jesus Christ and to come home with a heart that is full and knowing I did the will of God tonight in sharing the gospel with folks. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Anybody here ever come to church, you really didn't feel like it? I don't feel like it. And by the way, if you stay home and watch church on the internet simply because you didn't feel like going to church, shame on you. I hope you get so convicted. Nevertheless, anybody here ever, you just really didn't feel like it? All right, we'll go. Get in the car, kids. We're going to church. Really don't feel like it. And man, you get to church and the singing. Man, there's a special. That choir just knocks it out of the park. And then the preacher preaches for an hour and a half. And but nevertheless, you finish up and you walk out and say, "Oh, I'm glad I went to church today." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, that was good. I tell you, there's something about knowing and doing the will of God that nothing in this world can bless like the blessing that brings. So the blessing of the will of God. Now, we want to talk about determining the will of God. You say, "All right, preacher." Now, remember, we gave a short answer. The short answer to knowing the will of God is simply do today what I know God tells me to do today, and I'll be in the will of God. And that's true. That's a very general, simple way of determining the will of God. I'm just going to do today. But what about specifics? What about getting married? What about taking that job opportunity in another state? What about a ministry? And God stirs my heart. You know, I want to get involved in a ministry. What should I do? How do we determine the will of God in specific situations like that? That's what I want to give you tonight. I believe this will be very helpful. Number one, jot this down if you would. To determine the will of God so I can be in God's will for the rest of my life, number one, I must be certain that God has a definite purpose and plan for my life. I have got to get to the point where I am convinced that God has a will, a plan, a purpose for my life. I've got to be certain of that. Yes, I know God has a will for my life. Hey, I've got news for you. Contrary to what this world tries to convince us, we are not just dust blowing in the wind. There is a purpose for our life. There's a meaning for our life. And God created us individually. Everybody look at the person beside you real quick. Would you look at the person beside you? And would you say this? I'm glad I don't look like you. You know what? God made us all individuals. And we're glad for that. Amen. Wow, praise the Lord. There's only one James Smith. Praise the Lord for that. God designed us. God has given us life. He's created us in His image, not to just flounder through life without any purpose, without any meaning. Just whichever way the wind happens to be blowing, that's the way I'll go. No. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Here's what I'm trying to say. Your life has meaning. Your life has a purpose. God has a will for each of us. And we must be convinced of that. I found that if I don't know what I'm looking for, I never find it. Yogi Berra said, if you don't know where you're going, you might end up somewhere else. If I'm not convinced God has a plan for my life, I'm not convinced that God has a will for my life, guess what? It's going to be a hard time knowing it and fulfilling it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We're going to reference that passage a good bit tonight, but it says this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, do you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. And then he says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, one of the reasons I present myself to God, and we'll look at this again in a bit, one of the reasons I make myself, my body, my life available to God is because He has a perfect, a good, acceptable, and perfect will for my life. So I must be convinced of that. I like fishing. Brother Nate and I talk about fishing a lot. We love bass fishing. I found out his mother is a fisherman. She caught bigger fish than I have. I hate people that do that. But sometimes I go fishing somewhere, maybe a new lake or something I've not fished before, and I don't catch anything, and I'll think, there ain't no fish in this lake. Good night. I like to fish down at Savage River Reservoir. I like that in the springtime especially. And you know what? Every time I go down there, I fully anticipate catching something, and I always have the anticipation that I may catch a really big fish. You know why? Because they're in there. I know they're there, and it gives me confidence. It gives me something. I'm looking for it. I'm going after it. And when we get to the point in our Christian lives that we realize and we become convinced God has a plan for my life, and it's there, and I'm certain of that, I tell you, you'll be a whole lot, we'll be able to determine that when we get convinced that it's there. And I'll tell you, fulfilling God's will for your life is a whole lot better than catching a fish. And so number one, I must be certain that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I'm not just dust blowing in the wind. Over and over in the Psalms, you'll read David make this statement or a variation of this statement. He'll say, teach me thy will, O God. A couple times he'll put it this way, teach me to do thy will, O Lord. You know what David was? David was convinced that God had a plan for his life. David was certain God had a will for his life. You and I need to get that same certainty. Number two, would you jot this down? Determining the will of God. Number one, be certain God has a will for my life. Number two, I must be serious about God's will for my life. I must be serious about God's will for my life. God doesn't play games. And if I'm going to know the will of God so that I can carry it out and live my life in His will and accomplish with my life what God intends for me to accomplish, I must take that very, very seriously. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, I never seek the will of God out of curiosity. Well, I wonder what God's will is. If I could find out what God's will is, and then I'll decide whether I do it or not. Doesn't work that way. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. I need to come to the point and say, all right, I'm serious about God. I'm serious. I really want to know what your will is in this situation. God, I really want to know if you want me to go to college or not. God, I really want to know if I should marry or not. God, I really want to know whether I should take this position or not. If we think, well, see what God says, then I'll decide. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't play games. God is looking for us to take seriously His will for our lives. Sometimes my wife will say to me, she calls me Dan. She'll say, Dan, say, yeah, will you do something for me? Anybody want to guess what my statement is in response to that? What is it? You don't say, hey, Dan, will you do something for me? Sure, whatever. What do you want? I have a tendency to say, well, what is it first? You know why? Because I want to decide whether I'm going to do it or not. I always do it all the time. And anytime she says that, I always do it. But I must be serious about the will of God. Let me ask you this. How serious are you about the will of God for your life? You say, preacher, I'm older. How serious are you about the will of God for your life as an older Christian? How serious are you about God's will for a young Christian, whole life ahead of you? Courtney gave her testimony on Wednesday night at our Pie and Praise, and she made an interesting statement along these lines. She said she got a point where she said she wanted to sow her wild oats. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and then I'll get things right with God. I tell you what, and she made this statement. I'm saying this because she said it publicly. She made this statement, how much better it would have been to do the will of God through all of that. You know, when you sow wild oats, guess what you reap? You reap the fruit of wild oats. And so how serious are we about the will of God? Well, you know, God tells me, maybe, let's see what he has to say. Doesn't work that way. Number one, I got to be convinced God has a will for my life. Number two, I must be serious about God's will for my life. Number three, jot this down. I must be submissive to God's will for my life. I must be submissive. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Would you turn over there with me? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I just quoted it, but I'd like for us to go back there and look at it, if you would. Romans 12, this would be a great passage to memorize, to be honest with you, and underscore in Bible, highlight in some way. But he makes a statement right there on verse number 1 that I think lays the foundation for determining, proving what the will of God is. Verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now look at this next statement here. That ye present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. But before he ever references proving the perfect and good and acceptable and perfect will of God, he says, first of all, there must be a presentation. You know what that word present means? Present your bodies. You know what that word present means? It means this. It means to place into God's hands. It means this, to put at God's disposal. What Paul is saying here under the inspiration of God, he's saying it by God's mercies. God's been so merciful to us in saving us from sin and hell, suffering our judgment for us, giving us eternal life. The mercy God has shown us. Because of that, based upon that, we ought to present our bodies, put into the hands of God, put at God's disposal our bodies, our lives, what we are, and say, God, here I am. And when I come, and it's really submission is what he's saying, when I submit myself to God, then that will be a factor in determining his will. Somebody says, well, what if it's God's will for me to do something I don't want to do? What if it's God's will for me to go somewhere I don't want to go? What if God's will for me to get involved in something I really don't want to be involved in? I don't like it. I don't want to. You know what's making that statement? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying I know better for my life than God does. I know what I want and what I like, and to me that's superior, that's higher priority, that's more important, that's better than anything God might want for my life. Listen, I got some news for you. What God wants for our life is far better than anything we may come up with ourselves. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I might not want to do what God says. Not really submissive. If I think I know better for my life than God does, then I'm not going to ever determine the will of God for my life. Again, take your Bible. Stay here in Romans, if you would. Keep that place. Come back to Psalms with me very quickly, would you? Psalms chapter 37. Very encouraging passage here. Well, what if God wants me to go to Sudan, Africa, and live in a mud hut and work with Muslim extremists? Well, if that's God's will, that'd be better for you than staying here in Garrett County shooting 10-point bucks. Say, oh, that'd be more fun. Yeah, but is the highest priority in my life fun or fulfilling the will of God? But it's not, I said that, but it's not that bad. That's what my point I'm trying to make is, look at verse 37, chapter 37, verse number 3 of Psalms. Trust in the Lord. Question, can we trust God? Is God good? Is God mean to us, yes or no? No. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look at this. I love verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Look what it says. And he shall give thee what? Desires of your heart. You know what I found? Well, let's read on and I'll come back. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. What is he saying here? He's saying, listen, when I commit my way to the Lord, when I present my body a living sacrifice, when I submissively place myself at God's disposal, put myself in his hands, you know what he does? He gives me desires in my heart. Now, there's two ways to apply that. One is he gives me what I desire. But I think the more correct interpretation of that is this. He puts the desire in my heart in the first place. He gives me that desire. And he makes my desires his desires. And he makes my desires conform to his desire for my life. You know what I found? In all these years in the ministry, I found that a person, young or old, when they come and say, I'll give myself to God, I yield myself to him, I want his will to be done. You know what I find out? Their desire, once they get in the will of God, boy, their desire is to do exactly what God wants them to do. Follow what I'm saying? That's what I want. Oh, this is what I want. I'm telling you, I can't imagine, and God knows the future, I don't know, but I can't imagine myself doing anything other than what God has called me to do right now. It's the desire of my heart. You talk to Sunday school teachers. They know they're in the will of God. They'll say, this is the desire of my heart is to teach this class, to work this bus route, to lead this choir, to do whatever. God puts that desire there. Don't come and say, well, what if God has me do something I don't want to do? I tell you what, God will give you your wanter. God will make our wants in line with His. So there must be submission to the will of God. I must be submissive to the will of God. Submission changes my desires. I thought about Jerry Vogel. He'd been here for years, served the Lord, and he always said this. Some of you heard him say this. He would say this, oh, I don't like kids. Anybody ever remember hearing Jerry say that? Oh, I don't like kids. I always thought, man alive, God's going to tie a millstone around your neck and throw you in the ocean. You don't like kids. And we'd joke about it. I don't like kids. I don't like kids. One day we bought a new bus. And we were having prayer meeting here. I forget what, there were several men here. And I don't remember Saturday evening or Saturday morning, something. But there's a bunch of guys here praying. And Jerry had gone downstate to buy this bus. We were in here praying. It must have been in the morning. And about the time we finished up praying, we were all making our way out of the auditorium here, and Jerry pulled up to those doors right back there with this bus. Now, this is a guy who always said, I don't like kids. He pulled up there. He opened that door on that new bus that we bought. And I'm telling you, there were tears streaming down his face. His cheeks were soaked. His beard was all wet. I mean, he was crying. To Jerry, he said, God's called me to work a bus route. God wants me to run the bus and pick up kids for church. And he says, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know, God used Jerry to win all kinds of kids to the Lord. In fact, your brother and Jerry led the Kents to the Lord, James Kent and them to the Lord. He brought in, over the years, he brought in hundreds and hundreds of kids to church. You know what God did? He presented himself a living sacrifice. He presented his body. He put himself at God's disposal. And you know what God did? God changed his wants. God changed his desires. Now, afterward, he'd still say, I don't like kids, but he'd be holding them. He'd be loving them on them. He loved kids. He loved kids. So number one, I need to be certain that God has a will for my life. I need to know that. I need to have that settled. I need to be serious about it. Don't play games. I'm serious. God, I want your will to be done in my life. Number three, I must be submissive. God, I put myself at your disposal. Number four, would you jot this down real quickly? I must be sensitive about God's will for my life. I must be sensitive. I want you to look at two passages with me. Would you go to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4, I must be sensitive about God's will for my life. And I'll explain what I mean by that here in just a moment. But if you would, look at Philippians chapter 4. This is a familiar passage. A lot of us are familiar with it. Give you a chance to jot that down. I must be sensitive about God's will for my life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this. Be careful or anxious or worried. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. Would you agree with me that that phrase, let your requests be made known unto God, that would include my desire to know God's will for my life? That would be the request. That request, Lord, I'm serious. I want to know what your will is. You have a plan for my life. I know it. I want to know what it is. I'm submissive to it. So let your requests be known to God. And look what the next verse says. And the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Come over to Colossians, just a page or two over there, chapter 3. And look with me at verse 15. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule has the idea of govern, control. Let the peace of God govern your heart, your thinking, your desires, your emotions, your volition. What I'm trying to say is this. I need to be sensitive to the peace that God gives me. In other words, if there's a situation, if there's something and I'm unsettled about it, and there's some doubts there and there's not a real peace about it, my advice would be just hold off and wait on God. Let me apply it. In this case, it would be for the young people, but it would be for a job or anything. But maybe there's marriage. This person I'm thinking about, maybe I should marry them. I'm telling you, if there's doubts there, if there's some unsettledness in your heart and life about that, I would advise you to step back and just wait on God until you get peace about it. Anybody follow what I'm saying? Or maybe a job situation, and you're praying and you're sincere, God, I'm submissive, whatever your will is, take it or not take it, and you look at the opportunity, and there's an unsettledness there. There's an absence of peace. There's some real doubts about it. My advice would be step back and hold off. In other words, play it safe. One of the statements I've used for myself over the years is this: if in doubt, don't. Just hold off. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadership in my life. If I trust God, He'll give me peace. And it may be His will, but just not yet. He may have my heart unsettled. He may withhold that peace there. He may allow that uncertainty there about whether I should do this or not. He may just have that to sit back and wait. It's not the right timing yet. So must be sensitive about God's will for my life. If I trust Him, He'll give me peace. He'll give me peace. I mention this often, but when I was in Bible college in my early years in the ministry, I had every desire. I mean, the sincere desire of my heart was to go to the mission field. I wanted to go to the Philippines. And I pray, I was at the altar so many times, say, God, I'm available, I'm here. And you know, God never would give me a settled peace in my heart about that. I talked to mission boards, I talked to missionaries, and I pursued other avenues. I thought, well, maybe it's somewhere else in the world. I wanted to be a missionary. And I never could get that settled in my heart and mind. I never could get that peace to go forward with that. And it was just a closed door every time. And I just took that. All right, God, if it's not your will for me to go to the mission field, then I'm going to give myself, do everything I can to get those who are going there, that you did call there, do everything I can to help them get there. But that unsettledness. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Do you ever experience that? You're just not sure. I just don't have peace about this. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this: for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That word led means to be taken by the hand. Now, if I'm submissive to the Lord, I'm seeking Him, I'm serious about the will of God, I believe if that's true, then God will lead me. He'll give me that peace, or there'll be something in my heart and mind. I'll know I can't do this. I just can't do this. I can't do that. I had, over the years, 29 years now, almost 28, I've had some opportunities, invites to other churches, come and take another church. There's one in Tennessee. And they say, would you pray about it? I said, well, I'll pray about it. And I tell you, every single time, before I hung up the phone, in my heart, it was not settled. I can't do this. This is not God's will. It's not God's will. That unsettledness there. So we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There's others we could give. Let me give you one more, and then we'll quit. Let me just throw this one out. I ought to seek godly counsel. I'm not going to develop that, but I think in determining God's will, if I have something I think and I'm not sure, I ought to get some good godly counsel, some folks that have walked with God for years, that know the Word of God, know the Lord, see what their advice is. The Bible says by the multitude of counselors there is safety. So seek godly counsel. Now let me give you my last one here real quick, number 5 or 6, whatever it is. I must be scriptural in God's will for my life. I must be scriptural. So what do we say? We said, number one, I got to be certain that God has a plan and will for my life. Number two, I need to be serious about it. Don't horse around with this. This is too important. I need to be submissive to God. Number four, I need to be sensitive about his leadership in my life. I need to seek godly counsel. And then I must be scriptural about God's will for my life. And by that, this is what I mean. God's word and God's will never contradict each other. Somebody says, well, I got peace about this. I really have peace about going to the beer party at work Saturday night. I really have peace about that. I don't care if you have peace or not. That violates scripture. It's not God's will. Right? God's will and God's word never contradict each other. So if I believe if I'm serious about it, I'm submissive to the Lord, I'm certain he has a plan for my life, I seek godly counsel, I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadership in my life, and then I come and say, does it line up with Scripture? And if it violates Scripture, then scratch. God's will and God's word never contradict each other. There are some issues in Scripture that are very clear, very clear. A Christian ought never marry an unchristian. A non-Christian, period, period. And there's some are very, very clear in Scripture, but there's others that aren't so clear. Do I take this job or not? Do we move or not? Those are things I need to seek and determine the will of God. And I believe these 5-6 steps here would help us. Determining the will of God. Success in the Christian life is determining and then doing the will of God for my life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I ask that you would help us to take this issue very, very seriously. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't come to the end of our lives, the end of our days, the end of our time, and find out we lived it all in the will of our own will, the will of the flesh. But Lord, rather, we've lived our life in the will of God. I wonder, with heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder how any would say, you know, the Holy Spirit of God used at least one of those points. The Spirit of God used them to help me to determine God's will for my life. Anybody like that? God, there's some of those there. God used that. That's helpful. And the Holy Spirit of God, let's take these seriously. Let's, at any given time, stop. Am I in the will of God? Am I doing the will of God? And if there's a question, let's look at this and determine it. Let's settle it. Father, bless our invitation now, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Jane's going to play the invitation.